She is the Senior Supervising Environmental Scientist for Water Resources Division of the South Florida Water Management District, currently supervising scientists working to understand and optimize performance of the stormwater treatment areas.
Good morning. Good morning. And welcome, especially for those that's coming from out of state. Welcome to Florida. So I'm supposed to let you know how what this treatment wetlands all about and how it works and how it's important in preserving our ecosystem. So this is one of our five treatment wetlands. In total, we have about 65,000 acres of treatment wetlands. 57,000 of that is actually wet and flooded, like what you see here. The rest is like areas for roads and levees and infrastructures. So these treatment wetlands were constructed and are being operated to reduce the primarily the phosphorus from runoff water coming primarily from farms and some urban tributaries. So this is how it works. You guys wanna come closer? I have a little visual here. So what you see here are different types of vegetation. You have plants that you can see emerging beyond the water surface, mostly cattails, and sometimes you see areas with sawgrass. And if you see there, there's some darker green areas where we have bulrush. Most of this were, grew on their own. You provide the right condition and they grow on their own. Then you have submerged aquatic vegetation like here. What you see there, you know, it looks like dirt above the water, but there's actually dense vegetation beds below the water surface. And then occasionally you see some, water lilies, some floating aquatic vegetation. And then what you may not see are, you know, some microbial communities. I symbolize with this gray stuff, but everywhere in the water column, in soil, within the plant surfaces, you have microbial communities. So all these help reduce the phosphorus coming from the farm, and so we can have cleaner water before the water is delivered into the cleaner areas of the Everglades. So as the water from, say, from the farms delivered to the SDAs, you know, as they pass through dense cattle communities, the first phosphorus reduction mechanism is settling. You know, the plants act as physical barriers, and then as the particulate-laden water comes in contact with these surfaces, they tend to settle on the bottom. And then you have, this is also calcium-rich system. We have a lot of calcium. We call it calcareous systems. So calcium is also a magnet for phosphorus. If you provide the right pH, pH 8 and above, you also encourage the joining of phosphorus with calcium. So that's chemical bonding. And then that precipitate settles, tend to settle on the bottom. So we call that calcium co-precipitation. And phosphorus will settle on the bottom, becomes part of the flock material, and then later becomes part of the soil. So as that, you know, that water continues to move, they come in contact with submerged aquatic vegetation, like what you see here. This is what we call polishing. You know, the bulk of the phosphorus, probably about 50% removed in cattle areas. And then the water continues to move in polishing cells and then further reducing the concentration of phosphorus in the water column. This take up phosphorus mostly from the water column, even though some of them also have fine roots that can also take up phosphorus from the soil. If you reduce the amount of phosphorus coming from the soil, what we call phosphorus flux from the soil, if you reduce that, then you help make these SDAs work. You help with the reduction system. Sometimes, if you have too much flux in the you know, from the soil to the water column, then your removal may not be as effective. So just by taking up the plants, fix that phosphorus, and you know, stabilize that within the sediment or soil column. So the water comes in contact with the microbes, and again, the microbes can stabilize some of this phosphorus, because they also need that for their normal diet. And the clump of organisms here we call periphyton, very effective in taking up that phosphorus. So in the end, this can start as like anywhere from 100 to 300 parts per billion. With all those processes, in the end we get about anywhere from 20 to 30, even though we have some systems now that's getting less than 20 parts per billion. So in terms of concentration and load reduction, phosphorus mass reduction, that's about 70 to 80% reduction, which is pretty effective. So that's the mechanism. So to make it work, these are controlled system, and we have an estimate on how much it cost us to build this, about $1 billion for all the five systems, and we're spending another $1 billion to further increase this treatment capabilities. So it's expensive because we have to build infrastructures, canals, conveyance canals, pumps to move large amounts of water from, say, from the farm into the SDA inflow locations. So we have pumps, and we also have passive structures, you know, gated culverts, and sometimes ungated culverts. So the pumps intended to move large amounts, while the little ones are intended to move water from one SDA location to another, you know, like from the cattail cells to the polishing cells. So that's why it's expensive. Most of these are controlled from our main control room in the at the headquarters, and we also have pump stations like what you see here, where we have actual people manning to make sure that everything's working. You have cattail communities, and then you have submerged aquatic vegetation. There's whitish stuff on top, which can be calcium, you know, a lot of calcium there on the surface, and also microbes, you know, microbial communities attach the plants. We call, the periphyton attached to the plant surfaces. Like I said, it's removing about 70 to 80% of the concentrations and the mass of phosphorus that would otherwise pollute the Everglades. So the concern is, if all this gets discharged directly to the Everglades, how it used to be, it's changing that Everglades ecosystems. You know, you had a lot of alteration of vegetation, and then species being affected by the change in the community structure. So we started cleaning this. We started building this starting in the mid-90s. This was the first SDA we built, SDA 1 West, and then continued building until I think the last one was 2010. And we're still building now what we call the holding tanks for water, the FEBs that will at least attenuate the flow, so we're not flowing too much water all at once, and not making these SDAs work to help optimize these SDAs further. So from the mid-90s to now, it's been every year we're processing about 1.4 million acre feet of water. And over the period of operation, we have treated 15 million acre feet of water. And to translate that in gallons, it's about 4.8 trillion gallons. To translate it in terms of household pools, it's about 200 million household pool volume of water. So it's a lot of water processed through these SDAs.